This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والله يدعو إلى دار السلام ويهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم.
Hatred to others. Narrated Abu Huraira, Allah's Apostle, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said, "Beware of suspicion, for suspicion is the worst of false tales. And do not look for the other's faults, and do not do spying on one another, and do not practice najash, and do not be jealous of one another, and do not hate one another, and do not desert, stop talking to one another, and O Allah's worshippers, be brothers."
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another episode of Purification of the Soul. I'm your host, Abu Abdus Salam, and with me is our three guests, Gulraz, Kareem, and Muhammad. In this episode, we're going to be talking about a very important disease that one has to make sure that he removes from his heart. Now, Islam encourages mutual love, mutual respect among the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Muslims are like one body, one brotherhood. He says, "Innamal mu'minuna ikhwa." The believers are but brothers. Now, hatred or bughd, which is the disease that we're going to be talking about today, is not something that is good or bad in and of itself. Bughd or hatred in Islam is not something good nor bad in and of itself. For example, we're supposed to hate sin, transgression, corruption, murder, zina, fornication, adultery, and all these kind of things. However, we should not harbor rancor, animosity, malice, and hatred in our hearts for our Muslim brothers and sisters without lawful reason. Now, Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do not hate one another, or envy one another, or turn your backs on one another. O worshippers of Allah, be brothers." It is not lawful, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for a Muslim to break off relations with his brother for more than three consecutive nights, so that they both turn from each other. The better of them, the one who is better of the two, is he who gives the first greeting. Now this hadith is reported by Bukhari. Now first and foremost, why is it that we're not supposed to have hatred in our hearts for another Muslim without lawful reason?
Because as Muslims we should love one another.
Because it's contrary to the quality of love, of affection, of brotherhood. Of brotherhood. What is the significance of brotherhood? Why brotherhood? Why did Allah mention brotherhood? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the emigrants of Makkah reached Medina, the first thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did was what?
Brotherhood between Muhajirin, immigrants, and Ansar.
He said a brotherhood. What does that mean? Mu'akha. What did it constitute in reality? What did he do specifically?
Sharing their lives together, the social and financial.
He took one person from the Muhajirin, and what did he do? He paired him with someone from the Ansar. And so he would live with him, share their lives together, as you said, share their wealth and so on and so forth. But why brotherhood? Why not friendship?
Brotherhood is, I think, much stronger than friendship.
Brotherhood is much more stronger, much stronger than friendship. But there's a bit more deeper meaning, I think, to that.
Brotherhood, it's like a person would do, you know, do anything for his brother, for his someone who's like his, you know, blood brother. He would go further than just friendship.
Brotherhood, yeah, it goes much further than friendship, in the sense that a person could feel offended by his brother, on the one hand, but at the same time, he still has a deep-rooted love for his brother. As for friends, we hear all the time about how friends broke up. One, you know, sometimes you hear even friends killing each other out of envy, hatred, whatever. But when it comes to brothers, in terms of blood, blood brothers, you'll find very often, and this is usually the case, that no matter how far apart brothers are in terms of distance, in terms of physical distance, but they're always very close. They are the ones to point out each other's mistakes. And the other person won't feel offended. When his real brother says, hey, you've got this mistake, and he's not going to feel offended. Why? Because deep down he knows that his brother only wants good for him. How can it not be the case when his parents are the same as his parents? They say blood is thicker than water, to mean that, you know, a person who has blood relationship, that's thicker than any other relationship. I tend to disagree with that. I'd say that actually Islam, if you like, is thicker than blood. That Islam brings two people together, and that bond of Islam is far greater than blood brotherhood. It takes brotherhood to a new height, new levels. And the hadith that we mentioned, that one should not show hatred to one another. We shouldn't have hatred for one another, envy for one another, and so on and so forth. Also, the hadith talks about we shouldn't boycott our brother for more than 3 days. What's the wisdom behind that?
To ensure that ties between the brothers will not be broken.
To ensure ties are not broken, because the longer a person harbors some kind of dislike towards another person, the more shaitan has in order to cause, the more he has, the more weaponry he has to cause a split between the two people. And often you see this is the case. Two friends, when they're, you know, in two different parts of the world, and shaitan gets in between, because they have been split up for so long, sometimes when they get back together, one hears rumors of the others, he starts to believe it, shaitan's playing on the minds of each of them. That's why it's so important that a person physically doesn't destroy this bond of blood brotherhood by this boycotting, if you like. So this hadith shows that Islam recognizes very clearly that disputes can occur between two Muslims.
Because I think this is only natural, this is part of the human
Exactly.
instinct.
Exactly. And sometimes there are bound to be occasions where two people, there are situations where two people, they naturally, they don't want to speak to each other. They don't want to speak to each other. So Islam caters for this. Islam caters for this. Islam caters for this naturally. As I said, Islam comes, it doesn't tell you to totally remove any kind of disease, if you like, or natural behavior from yourself, but control it. If a person, you know, has, we always mention the example of you know, desires between the sexes, between the genders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ, that for mankind, for man it has been, you know, it is in their fitrah, if you like. It is in their disposition that the love of women has been made. It's part of their disposition. So part of this, part of the cure for that, Allah didn't say, hey, remove this love of women.
But control it.
Allah says control it. How can we control that?
By lowering our gazes.
By lowering our gazes.
First and foremost, by getting married.
By getting married. And, you know, and so on and so forth. So, this hadith shows very clearly, Islam doesn't come and say, okay, don't have any arguments. Okay, you must always be together. You can't boycott each other, not even for 1 second. Islam doesn't say this. Islam gives you some space. Islam says, okay, you have 3 days. You have 3 days for space to calm down, to once again think about the good characteristics of another person. And I'm sure we've all come, we've all had situations where you're upset with somebody, but a little bit of space helps that situation, helps the situation. And then the Prophet ﷺ went on to say that the better of them is he who gives the greeting first. The better of them is he who gives the greeting first. And so this should not exceed 3 days. This, although we're allowed to have this space, it shouldn't exceed 3 days. Why not 3 days? Why not more than 3 days?
Because they think this, the longer the period of negative emotions they have towards each other, the more difficult it is to return to the intimate relationship
exactly.
that they have previously.
And that psychologists have spoken about this in detail. Furthermore, Islam encourages us to recommence this brotherly relations by emphasizing that the one who greets his brother first will be the better of the two. How do we greet our brothers?
Assalamu
alaikum. Okay, peace be to you. And this is absolutely amazing when you look at this concept in Islam. I find this amazing. Why? You've had an argument with someone, you're upset with them, you've taken 3 days out. How on earth do you find the courage to go back to that person and how do you find the courage to go back to that person and make up? Okay? You don't have to say sorry about the past, sorry about what happened. All you do, assalamu alaikum.
It's a dua for him also.
And it's a dua for him. Peace be to you. And he'll reply, wa alaikum assalam. So, Islam says that the one who greets his brother first, he'll be the better of the two. And this, by this he can actually expect a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll pick up on that, inshaAllah, after the break. Assalamu alaikum.
Ask God is a program which aims to answer your questions about your deen, your faith, your way of life. This course is Islam.
This is a totally different price, but I divided the payment over this period of time. And the seller is the person or the firm which owns the item which you're buying in this condition. This form of business transaction is love.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about a disease of the heart called hatred or unlawful hatred, bughd. We were talking about how evil this disease is. Let's have a recap on some of the effects of hatred or extreme hatred, malice, rancor, on that a person harbors in his heart, on a person's himself, upon his family, upon society, and so on and so forth. How can we, let's discuss this a bit more. Kudraj?
I mean, for example, you know, if there's hatred between within a family, then that can break up a family. You know, if the children, there's some issue arises, and there's some sort of hatred between them, then, you know, they could end up, you know, there's many examples of, you know, the children not speaking to each other, brothers and sisters not speaking to each other for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, and cutting the ties of kinship, which is actually a major sin in Islam. You talked about the family. How is that relevant? For example, there's a big relevance between that, the family, hatred in a family, and hatred in among the Muslims.
I mean, Muslims are like a family.
إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. The believers are but brothers. And we spoke about that in the break. What about some more effects of hatred?
I think nothing successful can be based on hatred. So Muslims cannot be successful as an ummah if they don't have love among each other. Okay, so family cannot be successful.
Yeah, love for each
the
other.
Family if they don't have love between each other, because it's hatred is something very negative and will bring about negative results. So we cannot build our society on a negative pillar.
Yeah, there can be no unity if there's hatred amongst
and
the people.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to be united.
There will be no unity, no progress, no cooperation, no production.
How can we do anything kind of good, even in this world?
Exactly.
If everybody hates each other, and if the smallest of causes, or smallest of issues that irritate someone, he ends up beginning
also,
to hate someone.
Love is a very strong motive for us to work, to produce.
Often stronger than wealth.
Exactly, love of your country, love of your children, love of your family.
Love of your deen, most importantly.
The love of the companions for the Prophet ﷺ, which is why they sacrificed so much for the Prophet ﷺ and why Islam spread so much, is through their sacrifices. And they wouldn't have made so much sacrifices if they hated each other or hated the Prophet.
And that's what we went back to the point about the mu'akha or the brotherhood. That the Prophet ﷺ immediately, as soon as the people made hijrah, the muhajirin made hijrah from Mecca to Medina, the first thing he did, you are the brother of you. You are his brother. You are his brother. And so on and so forth. So he made a special kind of bond between the muhajirin, the emigrators, and the Ansar, the helpers in Medina. And that was like an extra kind of bond, responsibility. Now, we said that hatred for an un-Islamic reason is considered a bad thing. That is to hate another Muslim without a lawful reason. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that gates of Jannah are opened on Mondays and Thursdays. And then every worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granted forgiveness if he does not associate any partners with Allah. In other words, shirk. Mondays and Thursdays. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued. But those in whose hearts there is rancor, malice, envy, hatred if you like, those in whose hearts there is rancor against his Muslim brother, then they will not be pardoned. They will not be pardoned, and it will be said twice regarding them. Hold both of them until they have reconciled with each other. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim. It's quite serious. I mean, when a person, he harbors hatred or rancor in his heart, ghil. Ghil is rancor, malice, if you like. Bughd is hatred. So when he harbors this in his heart, Mondays and Thursdays, the great gates of paradise are open. For these people, the gates of Jannah will be closed. Why so severe?
Because one needs to be more pure than this to be honored to be in the Jannah or the paradise.
Because in paradise, we're not going to have hatred for each other.
Exactly.
In paradise, nobody's going to hate each other. Every Muslim will love each other. They're all pious, practicing, if you like, worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muttaqeen, taqwa. So we can see the relationship between the fact that the gates of paradise are closed for those who harbor these ill feelings in their hearts, and between paradise itself, that the people of paradise are going to be people who don't have these kind of feelings in their heart. With this, inshallah, let's have a look at some of the interviews that were taken earlier on in this regard.
Well, on an individual level, I think people will not be more tolerant with each other because each other will be hating each other and this will affect them both. On the society, people will become also more intolerant and this will lead maybe to the effect on society to be less developed and to affect the country as a whole.
I think people are supposed to love each other. Without love, there's going to be no life. So I think when someone hates there's no trust between people. There will going to be no trust between people in common. But on an individual, I think he will be so distracted that he can't live with people. He can't interact with people outside. So I think that there will be no life. He can't live.
There are two types of hatred. The first type is hating someone because he's done something bad to me, such as, let's say, for example, enemies hate each other, like two countries. If a country takes over another country, they hate each other because he's an enemy. That's why they would hate each other. Another thing, or a small example, maybe if someone done something bad to my friend, so I'll start hating him and I'll be trying to take revenge. The second type of hatred is jealousy type of. Basically, if I see someone's got something better than I got, then I'll be jealous. I'll be hating on what he's got. Let's say he's got a better car, he's got a better house, wife, life, whatever it is. I'll be just hating on him because he's got something better than what I've got.
Very interesting comments made there. Now, we said that Shaitan, he loves to sow the seeds of enmity in the hearts of people. So when this enmity develops into a fire, and open hostilities result, then he enjoys the spectacle. He likes to watch this kind of thing. And this fire burns a person's present and his future into ashes and totally destroys their relationship and virtues. The Prophet ﷺ said, the shaitan has been disappointed that he would not be worshipped in the Arabian Peninsula. But he's not been disappointed from kindling the fire of fighting among the Muslims. This hadith is narrated by Imam Muslim. So we can see very clearly here that the shaitan is, as we can go back to this one of the first few episodes where we talked about the traps of shaitan. The first trap that shaitan wants a person to fall into is what?
Is hatred, shirk.
Is shirk. The first trap that he wants a person to fall into is clearly shirk. Now if he can't do that, he'll go on and on down the lines. And one of these traps of shaitan is a major sin, as well as minor sin. And so from among that is the sin of unlawful hatred. Unlawful hatred. So here we can look at this and we can see that how shaitan, he's lost hope. He's disappointed, the Prophet ﷺ said, in being worshipped in the Arabian Peninsula directly. However, he's not lost hope of a people, of the Muslims, having or harboring hatred in their hearts for each other. And we can see this very clearly in today's time, unfortunately. Now there's a number of things, that one can do. First of all, to prevent hatred and rancor occurring among other people. And then there's a number of things, remedies that we can apply to ourselves to prevent, to remove this disease if we have it in our own hearts, this disease of hatred. So with regards to what we can do to avoid other people harboring enmity towards us or to inciting this kind of fuel of hatred, the first thing is that we should avoid expressing any kind of enjoyment when someone faces some kind of disaster or calamity or hardship. And we can see this. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he said, don't express pleasure at the misfortune of your brother, lest Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should bestow mercy upon him, upon you, and make you suffer from this, from a misfortune. So the whole concept where one shows empathy towards his brother. You're in a state of calamity, in a state of hardship. I'm not going to be happy about that. Rather, we are part of one ummah. We are like one body. What did the Prophet ﷺ say about the ummah being like a body?
It's like one body. So if one part of the body, you know, feels pain, then the whole body feels the pain.
And this is exactly true. Exactly true. Both in this life and the akhirah. In this life, we know that if somebody, if he gets some kind of pain in one part of his body, his whole body feels ill. He can't work as normally as usually. His mood changes and so on. So the effects of when one part of the body gets ill or gets diseased or gets, you know, hurt, the whole body feels pain. Even in the akhirah, the same is the case. And that is why the limbs, when the skin speaks against the person says to the skin, says to his limbs, why are you speaking against me? It's for you that I'm lying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when a person's done bad sins and Allah asks him about these sins, he denies them on the day of judgment. And then Allah asks the limbs, the person's own body, to bear witness against him. And so what does a person say at this point? He says, look, it's for you that I'm lying. Why are you speaking against me? He's talking to his limbs. Showing that even in the akhirah, if one part of the body feels pain, the whole body feels pain. The same thing goes with the whole Muslim ummah. The whole Muslim ummah, if one part of the body feels pain, one part of the ummah feels pain, the whole ummah feels pain. So we shouldn't be happy with someone else's misfortune. The second thing we should do is that we should avoid doing anything that will make people suspicious and that could sow the seeds of rancor and hatred in their hearts. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the presence of three people, two people should not hold secret counsel to the exclusion of the third. Now, it is this point that we're going to pick up on, inshaAllah, in the next episode, because this is a very important point. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.